Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Tuesday edition. This is not a story. It's a story for you guys. It's not a story for us. Aaron Rodgers against his former team. That's Matt LaFleur edition. I wanted a Seattle Pilots Brewers Mariners World Series. I got Dodgers Blue Jays edition. And he did not carpool with Barry Alvarez, but he did spend some time with Barry Alvarez at Hard Rock Casino Rockford last night. I can't wait to hear some of the highlights from that edition. Also, I have a letter here, not from Bob Uecker, but from Chris McIntosh to Badgers fans everywhere that was sent out yesterday during our show. Might read an excerpt or two from that edition. Of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which even the dogs are excited about. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location, he is the Packers Hall of Famer and a member of one of the great Badgers Rose Bowl teams that were celebrated over the weekend. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you? How are you doing this morning?
It's going to be one of those days, huh?
No, I'm going to get some. Jesse?
Jason!
So you basically said you have the open this morning, so let's hear it.
Oh, hi.
Oh, awkward silence. Well, surprised Tausch didn't jump in there.
Getting a little situated here.
Situated?
With a few things going on. I thought maybe I would, get an extra second or two. That's okay. We'll manage. All right. So we went to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford last night. We had a wonderful two-hour special, the Barry Alvarez show.
Can you explain for our audience who we is?
So, car number one, the Rose Bowl car, featured Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and Barry Alvarez all carpooling together from the
Who
Madison
drove?
Area. Tarek drove, I learned. I tried to ask them at the start of the show some details of the road trip, because I would love to, like, I think we could do an entire hour of the show just on those three in a car for an hour from Madison to Rockford. They weren't really biting at that too much. I think they were show prepping as we were making the trip down. So the Rose Bowl car was car number one. Pablo Iglesias and I drove down in car number two.
The Dunzo car.
The Dunzo car. So we arrive, and we have a great show, I thought. 2 hours, productive Badgers conversation.
Nothing viral.
The Jesse Nelson show.
You'll hear a little bit of what Coach Alvarez had to say about the letter and the head coach and the fans and all that stuff. We will get to some of that coming up. For everyone who is in the YouTube comments and tuning in just to see if the coach was going to say, let's fire everybody, he didn't say that, shockingly. We wanted to actually have a more productive conversation than just saying, yeah, let's fire everybody. So sorry to disappoint for those who were tuning in just for that.
Selfishly for you, you would have loved that, though, right? Because then that would have blown up.
Million views.
Millions of views.
I mean, if Barry Alvarez,
like, selfishly for you,
if Barry Alvarez popped the mic at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, all the fans who were sitting in the Hard Rock Cafe and up at the bar and at the slots and at the tables, and they all wanted to hear, and he just says, you know what? I'm going to change everything I've said all season long about how I feel about this thing. I think everyone should just get fired. We should just
Barry irrational.
It would be Barry irrational.
Barry irrational.
No doubt.
Barry irrational.
So we had really a productive conversation, I thought, on the state of Wisconsin athletics. A lot of good stuff going on there. And then there was this fun interaction near the end of the show that I wanted to share with you, because I thought...
You're going to start with the end.
We're going to start at the end, and then I'm sure throughout the course of today's show with Evan Cohen and with you guys, we're going to hear from Barry. Like, we're going to talk a lot about Wisconsin football and the state of things. So this is what came up in the final moments of the show last night, and this is what I was getting ready. I'm not sure if I'm exactly in the right spot. Just bear with it if it takes a second to get into it.
Okay. Yes.
Everything's fantastic.
I thought you were trying to reach for the
Hard
nachos.
Rock Casino Rock. No, I'm good. Absolutely wonderful hospitality. Wonderful. To hear from Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Thanks to all the fans who have been out here with us tonight, enjoying the slots and the table games and the Monday Night Football, and us up here on the stage at Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
I think we should go.
Yeah, Coach. Yeah. What do you think?
Shoot one time to hit the dice table.
You got to get in and out
before we leave.
Well, then we'll see where it's at.
So you play craps?
I am. So here's what my thing is with craps. I'm not confident enough yet to play at the table with them.
Coach,
I've done a little individual.
Coach will coach you up.
We'll do.
Oh boy.
We'll parlay a little money. I'll run the money. And I'll show you what we're doing.
And I'll stand there and
I'll explain the game to you. Yeah. So the next time you come here, you can stand up there and know what's going on.
Well, I mean,
how about that?
He does a good job.
In one way, I'm terrified. In another way, it's a dream come true. I'm not sure which one I feel more of.
You're not going to lose a million. You're not going to lose dollars.
Wow, Coach, coaching you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
So
that's awesome.
That was the invitation from Barry Alvarez, inviting me to join he and Tarek and Derek at the craps table upon the conclusion of the show.
Okay, so did it happen?
So the show gets done right about 8 o'clock, and I'm helping. A couple of our other teammates are there. And Laney's there, Chad's there, Ashton, Pablo, the whole crew is there. And so we're helping clean up some of the equipment from being on the tremendous setup they have there on the stage. You guys know, we've been there together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too long with all of us there. 4 or 5 minutes, we're done. In that time, that 4 to 5 minutes that I kind of helped just put the headsets away and whatnot, the guys bolted straight for the craps table. Tarek, Derek, they are all right back, and it's kind of center at Hard Rock Casino. Right, it's like right in the middle of the place. Only one table open. It's a Monday night. That's not surprising. Only one of the two tables was open to play craps, and it was a popular spot, a very full table. So I walked over upon conclusion of wrapping everything up, and Barry's there, and Derek's kind of on the other end of the table, and they're kind of elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder, with all the other people who are crowding in around the table. And I flinched.
You flinched in the presence of Barry Alvarez?
And I did not play craps with Barry Alvarez.
And what are you doing?
And I regret it. Yeah.
Why did you flinch?
Was it just there's no room?
I panicked. It was a full table. He was clearly in the zone. I found out they were winning, which was good. So the table was hot. Everybody was having fun. It's kind of, you know, and craps is a game. It's not as easy as
the table was
blackjack
hot.
Or roulette, where it's kind of like it. Like there's a lot of action happening on a craps table. People are throwing dice, and the big rod thing is moving things around, and chips everywhere. Hands grabbing both ends of the table.
Yeah. It's a big rod thing.
There was a lot happening, and I got scared.
Oh my god!
So I. Did,
so what
you
did you
and
do?
Wildy
you
are made for each other.
You two are made for each other. That's so. You and Pablo just walked out instead of throwing. You give Coach Al $40 or $50 and just let him go to work, and then he'd teach you. You got the point, and you can play the pass line. You can do the come. You can play specific numbers. You could, and you didn't do any of it.
That sounds pretty complicated to me.
Well, I didn't do any of it. I then went over to check out the UU Noodle Bar to see what they had for dinner.
I've heard
did
good
you
things.
Go boo
and,
there?
And in the, I
did you boo?
I did
UU?
Ask Coach Alvarez to say, "Please go boo in the UU Noodle Bar." He had a good laugh with that. So thank you for providing that content for
that
us last
good.
Night.
That was but, good.
In the time that I walked over to the UU Noodle Bar and then back to the craps table, Pablo jumped in right next to Barry Alvarez, and he played craps. Ditch me. And Pablo's standing right there, yucking it up with the old coach at the craps table. He was able to muscle his way in and find some room, totally ditched me, and I sat there as the odd man out watching Derek and Barry and Pablo playing craps. And I regret it.
Yeah, this story makes me feel sad.
Me too. This,
because, Jesse, here's the deal with you. You're a very good host. Producer, you do a good job on a lot of fronts.
Thanks,
a couple
Dallas.
Things, but that's neither here nor there. But you have now, you have strong opinions. You try to fire Pat Murphy. You have strong opinions on things. But this is where I give Jason a lot of credit. Jason has to go in the locker room and go eye to eye with guys he's critiquing and he's writing about. You now have had a couple of different opportunities to hang out outside of show with both Brett Favre and Barry Alvarez. Many people would say Mount Rushmore, Wisconsin sports figures.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get a ton of arguing from almost anybody.
Yeah.
You, Jesse Nelson, from Muskego, Wisconsin, you could be living people's dream. And instead, you're flinching away to go get a bucket of noodles. Now, granted, they're great noodles from the UU Noodle Bar. But you don't take advantage of that opportunity. You probably didn't sleep good last night, did you?
I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, boy.
I did. I didn't leave. I did. I sat kind of nearby after I watched for a minute, and I was like, well, maybe I'll jump in. And it was too much happening. So I went and I sat at one of the little like blackjack machines right next to it. It's not even the table. It's the one
oh
where it's
God.
Like the automated. I was
not one
like,
of those dice.
Yeah.
One of the craps that you're in a bubble and you just hit the button and the dice bounces up like
boggle.
Boggle.
Yep, that's where I'm comfortable playing craps. But I didn't even play craps because I felt that would have been the worst look if I didn't play craps.
The
next
old
to
ball
Barry
coach
Alvarez,
Jesse,
but I went to
the old ball coach wanted to get. He hasn't coached in a while. He wanted to coach.
Yes.
Here's this guy that he's done all these viral clips with. He wanted to mentor you.
Yes.
On the game of craps. At the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a great partner of ours. And you flinch? He wrote a book that said, don't flinch.
I told us not to flinch.
It was a full table. You don't coach someone up in the middle of a golf round. You go to the driving range first.
No, you don't coach people in front of 75,000 people. Come on, Gel. That's what he's known for.
You practice a new play on the sideline right before you're going to do it in the Super Bowl. Like that, you can't bring me in as a novice of the game. And like coach me up when there's a hot
you
table.
You just said it was a Monday night. This
people,
wasn't.
It was packed
this,
in.
This wasn't a Saturday night at Bellagio.
The crap table was the place to be last night at Hard Rock Casino Rockford. It was packed in, wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder.
Gel, you're making excuses and you know it. You know it. You know you should have. Was Becca disappointed in you this morning?
He hasn't told her yet.
No, I did. She called me a chicken. She never. Not that she doesn't care about the Barry Alvarez show, but she rarely tunes in. She's usually at home, you know, taking care of the dog or whatever else on Monday evenings. She tuned in last night, heard the end of the show, texted me at the end, "Good luck" with a dice emoji.
Gula.
So supportive.
That's
so
cute. Nice. Supportive.
Yeah.
Gulak.
I did feel bad that I didn't play craps with Barry Alvarez. The good news is...
kind of crapped out.
We do have one more show that'll be there before season's end. I don't know the exact day. It's sometime in November.
Be a new host.
So I have from now until then to learn
Pablo
the game.
With Pablo Iglesias.
Exactly. That's what I was... It's Barry's new good buddy.
It's very
his
rude.
Craps buddy, Pablo Iglesias.
I mean, those two, they
and
were having
Jesse,
a good time. They were having the time
Jesse
of their lives
Jesse will be doing
night.
All the digital content for it.
Trying to make Pablo and Barry go viral. What an ironic twist.
I don't think Pablo shared this story with me because we drove back together. I don't think Coach would mind that I share this story. So Coach was wearing one of his he was wearing one of his Rose Bowl championship rings, you know, coming off the big reunion weekend. So he had one of the Rose Bowl rings on last night. And so they're sitting at the craps table and someone else who was playing did not know who Barry Alvarez was and looked and said, "Oh, you a championship poker player?"
Oh.
And Coach said, "Yep."
Howdy, old ball coach.
And that was it. And that's a story I had to hear from Pablo because I wasn't there myself.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. If Tark and Derek and Coach asked Pablo to ride back with them, would he have left you to ride with
them?
That
would have been amazing.
Probably. They're pals now. They 45 good minutes at the craps table. Big winners.
And if they had the dice for 45 minutes, they cleaned up.
And there was me over at the $3 blackjack automated machine.
Just playing Keno.
Over on the side by myself, looking at everyone else having fun.
Boy.
Well,
give me a scouting report on the UU noodle bar, then. How good was it?
Well,
I didn't actually eat there. That's what he's going to say next.
What? You flinched at the noodle bar, too?
It was a sit-down place, and I thought Pablo was coming with me, and I didn't want to go sit by myself and wait, so I didn't even get the UU noodle bar.
This is the saddest road trip story I've ever heard. Oh, my God.
It's like The Hangover, but the opposite.
There was a chicken
fried. But not fun at all.
There was a chicken fried rice on the menu that sounded so good, but I didn't get it because I didn't want to wait and sit there by myself. God. All my friends were playing craps, and I just wanted to go hang out with them, and then I didn't even do that.
When it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her team at Pella, and... I don't know where else to go from there. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with zero interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
I don't know where we go from here. I do know that Evan Cohen will have opinions on this when he joins us at 9:30. I don't know if I've ever heard anything sadder on our show.
It was sad.
Like his voice. Like, did you hear Jesse's voice? I think he was starting to have tears.
But not getting the new UU noodle bar in the end was definitely.
That was a great capper to the story. Yeah. I'll say that.
I was real because I'm sure they have a really good pad Thai. Would be my guess, right?
Like, it has top of the menu, phenomenal. First thing on it. Yeah.
Oh, Jesse wouldn't know.
No, I read the whole menu. I sat there. I read the entire menu. There were like five things that I for sure wanted to eat. The chicken fried rice was calling my name, but it was a sit down place. And Pablo he wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We will try to soldier on our sad little program today. Evan Cohen scheduled to appear at 9:30. We've got other things we'll get to through the course of the show. But, man, it's going to be a struggle to rebound. We'll try next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We will get to Aaron Rodgers, and we'll get to Evan Cohen, and we'll get to everything we've got planned. But I am curious, Jesse. Maybe Tausch and I are being too hard on you.
Nope. Maybe,
what does the text line tell us, the Carbless Talking text line?
They're being more harsh, I'd say. Robin Waukesha. Jesse, when you're on the craps table, everyone's on the same team. You're rooting for the shooter to hit his number that you're betting on. Big missed opportunity. That's from Rob.
Yeah, that's my understanding of how that game works, yes.
His name is Coach. It's literally in his name, from Adam in the Berg. Is there another location you could hardly know someone, spend 45 minutes with them, and be old pals by the time you're done? A hot craps table is certainly one of those spots.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can be an antagonist and go against the shooter and play the don't pass line, and you can become that. You can also be an enemy on the craps table. Now, most people don't, but some people do.
See, this is what I don't know and why I flinched and didn't go play yesterday, because I don't know these terms. Like, I know what the table looks like. I know sevens are bad, and but sometimes
sevens
they're
good until you get your point.
They're good and then
so
they're bad.
You want to roll. Yeah, so Barry gets the dice in his hands. He's playing the pass line. He rolls. You want to get 7 and 11. Boom, you get paid. Whatever you have. Bam, bam, bam. Then whatever point you roll, as long as it's not a 1 or a 2 or snake eyes or boxcars, and I think maybe a 3, that's called crapping out. You lose your initial bet. You got to put it back down. Once you hit your point, 6, 8, 9, 10, you then need to hit 6, 8, 9, 10 before you roll a 7. Does that make sense? That's the basic quick version of craps.
It's still a little confusing.
Yeah, I can understand. It is confusing. It takes a little time. But you know what's real easy? When you're out there with somebody that knows and will explain it to you, because the one thing is, it does take a little time between shakes. Especially if it's a full table. You got money, you got all kinds of odds, and you got it is a very nuanced game. I'll agree with you on that, Jesse, but if you just play your point, it's pretty simple.
Last one here from Jerry Odd. Jesse hiding from craps with Barry may just be the only thing sadder than the current UW football state of things.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Hurts,
yeah, don't it? Jesse, I still don't have a rundown, so what read would you like?
Let's have Tausch tell us about Coors Light. And Jason, maybe you need to log into your email again.
I have the rundown. How is that possible? I'll tell you what, whether you're hiding under a table,
Nope.
You're enjoying rolling dice with the old ball coach, or you're watching your favorite team win. It's great to crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Make sure it is the mountains are blue. That's when you know your Coors Light is chilled to perfection. It's only 102 calories. Coors Light is always made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I am very curious, well, about a lot of things, and I'm eager to hear Evan's opinion on several things. But Jesse passing up and flinching on an opportunity to play craps with Barry Alvarez is at the top of the list. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Well, we started with a very sad start to the show. Like, Jesse's story about Barry Alvarez inviting him to play craps with him, and then him not going and flinching, and then sitting reading the UU Noodle Bar menu alone and not even eating there while Barry's having fun with Tarek and Derek and Pablo playing craps. It's depressing.
Yeah. So it's an interesting hypothetical that was a reality, because many times what people in life present to people is like, oh, if so-and-so asked you to do something, I don't mean immoral, but asked you to do something that you don't like to do, or asked you to eat a food that you don't like to eat, because it's that person, would you then do it? For example, no joke, last week on our show, the crew, Smalls and Canty, started asking me on Unsportsmanlike, if Michael Jordan just knocked on your door, would you give him your house? I said I would start packing upon arrival if he wanted my house. Like, literally, just handing Michael Jordan out. Like, that's the kind of thing that, while it's pathetic, we all have to acknowledge how pathetic we are. And Jesse, when Barry Alvarez, even though you do a show with him, asks you to do anything, the answer is yes. I think maybe if he asked you to commit a crime, which he wouldn't do, you'd say no. But even then, I think you have to think about it.
So I have a real-life example of that when I went out to Washington State and visited Coach Bennett. He made coffee, and I don't drink black coffee. And he told Jason, Jason, I grind the beans myself. Do you think that I would turn down one of my idols offering me his freshly ground coffee, even though I don't like black coffee? Absolutely not. I had 3 cups of that. I have not had black That's coffee right. before or since, but it's Dick Bennett. So, of course, I say
That's
yes.
That's right. Now, Tausch, what about you? You loved Cal Ripken growing up. If Cal Ripken asked you to eat something or do something or play something that you just don't like or are against, you do it because it's Cal Ripken.
Definitely as a young man, I would have. Like, if Dan Marino wanted me to wear isotoner gloves and it was real hot, I'd wear isotoner gloves.
You cannot stop with the Dan Marino gloves bit. You're still doing this? This is years on end. Tausch has been trying to get this relevance back of Dan Marino isotoner endorsements.
Is it not one of the greatest endorsement? What other brand is completely outside of Nike and Jordan? What other
Bob
brand
Uecker
is
and Miller
super
Lights to everyone?
Well, no,
other
because
than Jesse.
Jesse thought it was Coors Light. So no, isotoner and Marino.
I cannot believe you're still doing this.
Is there this anything was, that you could think
wait,
of?
Was this a bit when you guys were together recently?
This was 5 to 7 years. This was like 6, 7 years ago, I think.
Six, seven years.
How many years ago?
Yeah.
Was it 11?
6, 7.
For real?
It's been a while. It's been a while.
We were at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and Tausch was doing this bit, and it didn't work then, and now he's bringing it back now. It's just really amazing.
Well, Evan, I'm asking you, as someone that has covered sports and media and endorsements and products, is there another company that got more bang for their buck with whoever would have heard of Isotoner if it wasn't for Dan Marino?
MJ, nobody. MJ Gatorade? MJ Gatorade?
Well, MJ, like MJ's Nike. No, MJ is Nike, not Gatorade.
MJ's both.
MJ is obviously both. In its own category. I'm saying for a niche product, there ain't anything like it. Tell me something else. Fred McGriff did that old hitting video that got a lot of love.
Tom,
that's different.
Tom Emanski.
Yeah, Tom Emanski.
Do you want to hear a funny Fred McGriff story? Wait, do you want to hear a funny Fred
sure.
McGriff story?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, Fred McGriff, for those who don't know, was a really great baseball
Hall of
player,
Famer.
First baseman.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
He's in the Hall of Fame.
I thought
yes.
he had 400 home runs. He got in? Okay. So Hall of
He's
Fame
a Hall of Famer.
Player.
Jesse Fact.
I remember.
He said that with such certainty.
When I worked at Sirius XM, Fred McGriff was also there. And he was on MLB radio. And I heard a story once that he was late to a show and it created all this chaos because they didn't have a host. And I was like, Jesus, you okay? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, well, what happened to the guy? And he goes, somebody told me he had to pick up his dry cleaning. And I said, that had to happen to start the show. Fred McGriff missed the beginning of a show for a dry cleaning pickup. That's when you prioritize your show. That's when you put your show above all. Mark Tauscher, have you ever missed part of a show for a dry cleaning pickup?
That is no. That would not happen.
If I could support my partner here for a second, the Isotoner argument that he's making, let's not forget that Isotoner actually even makes it into the movie where he's kidnapped, Ace Ventura. He is doing an Isotoner commercial with, I think, Jeff Dellenbach and another
I'm
Dolphins
telling you
player.
Right now, Jason.
They got, their
right
product
now.
Into the movie. As during him doing the endorsement.
Who, Dellenbach's a Wisconsin guy, yes.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great actor.
I want to say he was a high school football coach in South Florida for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken.
Better than the guy that was in the 60-yard
line.
For
a niche product, that was the most successful niche advertising campaign in the history of sports. And you could tell me another one, I don't know what it is.
I'm joining that club.
All right, great job.
What is it? No, what is it?
I don't know. I'll pick up your dry cleaning next time I'm in town.
Fred McGriff, 2023 Baseball Hall of Fame inductee.
Thank you.
Congratulations to the crime dog.
The old crime dog.
Are you guys avoiding what's going on in our world at the University of Wisconsin right now?
No, I was I was going to transition, and then I assume Tausch is going to leave to go pick up his
dry cleaning.
Well,
in fairness, Evan just wowed us with that Fred McGriff story. So let's not – he's giving me grief about Isotoner gloves. He's talking about some first baseman from the 80s, man. So let's just make sure we're on this.
Tausch is going to head over to pick up Junius Kostin's crushed velvet purple jacket that he had dry cleaned.
I am not asking Mark Tauscher say anything negative, and I don't want to say anything negative about UW-Madison nor the football program. What I would like to do is bring this topic up as a series of questions that I will ask specifically to fellow UW-Madison grad Jason Wilde, because Mark Tauscher, I love too much to put in an uncomfortable position. So, Jason,
mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Let me ask you a couple of questions.
Jason!
That's exactly what's happening right now.
I know that you do not listen nor watch our show, but I do watch your own show, and I know that you pay attention to what I put out on social media. Have you heard me at any point recently be overly critical or even critical at all of UW-Madison or the football program?
I have not.
Okay. So that was an important setup. Was it necessary for Coach Fickell, who I think was, at the time, a hell of a hire and a great idea, was it necessary, in your opinion, for him to randomly take a shot at Bill Belichick this weekend?
No, I did not think that that was necessary.
Okay. Did you read the statement that our athletic director, Chris McIntosh, sent out to fans, alumni, etc.? Did you read that statement as I did? This is leading, I understand. As, by the way, we probably should ask you all for money.
I read that as... All right, we're not putting Tausch in a bad spot here, but I...
If I may interject.
You may.
So, yeah.
I saw that letter, I don't know what time, it was middle of our show.
Somebody it was during sent our show, I read it afterward.
I looked mm-hmm. at my email, it was in there, and I wasn't 100% sure. It could have been a myriad of things, in my opinion, that was going to be said in that letter. I think the first thing that most people thought was that, what you're saying, Evan. That it was, we need more support. If I may finish, and then you can go.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. After reading it and then kind of looking at it myself, what I took from that letter was there is going to be more of an institutional from Chancellor Mnuchin. There is going to be more institutional and more university backing of the football program for retention and recruitment for the football team. That is what I read. So that is why I believe Mac is asking for patience and whatnot. Now, you don't have to agree with that, and I think there's other people that are looking at it and saying, donors need to step up, we need to step up, the coaches need everybody, because we all recognize what's happening is not anywhere near good enough. And matter of fact, it's the opposite of that. That's how I took that letter. Go ahead.
All right. No, that's good. I'm glad you did that. So now let's talk about where money like that comes from, right? So if you're utilizing budget that the university already has, we're saying that the university, which is an amazing academic institution first and foremost, will potentially reallocate funds to the football program. Maybe that's an option. Or maybe the goal is to increase the funds that the university has to work with for those funds to be utilized for football. So my question then still becomes, where does that money come from? How I read the statement yesterday is almost as if, again, my reading of this, we didn't want to have to be in sales, but now we realize we have to be in sales. Where I believe other universities, other athletic departments, realize number one thing we need to do in sports right now is make sure we have people that are so connected to the community that they live in this case Madison, to the alumni base, to the ex-players, all sportsmen and women, to make sure that we're funding for ourselves, in essence. I think other universities seem to realize you can't actually let your game do the talking. You have to talk in order for your game to do the talking. And how I read it is now we realize we're in sales. For example, I was at an event. I was introduced by someone of prominence to someone high up at UW Athletics of prominence. And I was told by the introducer, "Boy, that was weird." I said, "Why?" And the person said to me, "You have a pretty big platform. You're at a UW-Madison event. If I were that person, I would try to feed you stuff to basically be a shill for the university." And I said to that, the introducer, "Well, you know I would have done it, but I wasn't fed it," right? So I would say, I mean, of sports media people that are UW-Madison grads, in the sports world, Big Cat is far and away the biggest. I'm not saying I'm second. What I'm saying is the platform I'm on is enormous. And I'm not saying I would be biased in the favor, but having information maybe ahead of time, maybe to be an inside person in a positive way, not unfair, not immoral, would be something you take advantage of. That was not taken advantage of, right? Again, it's not just me. It's how many people in the community right now can say that they have a personal relationship with AD and football coach? And maybe it's thousands, and I don't realize. I do realize that so many people say that about the basketball coach, because the basketball coach realized, in order for me to just coach basketball, I have to be in sales first. That letter yesterday almost was an admittance of, we got the order wrong. It doesn't mean we got the people wrong. It doesn't mean we can't get it right. It's, we thought football would bring money in. Money's going to bring football in.
Yeah.
Wow, that was good.
That was good. It was.
Very profound, Evan. Very profound.
I think you make a good point, but I disagree in this way. I just thought it was incredibly, and again, it pains me to be this person on this panel, but I found it to be tone deaf. There are a lot of people that are extremely frustrated with where the program is, and basically the way I read it was, well, that's because we're not giving it enough support. That's basically the reason why the program is where it is. And I found that to be...
It's our fault?
Yes.
As alum and fans?
Yes. And look, I have not contributed to the NIL funding, so if you want to blame me, that's fine. I don't have... I'm not Big Cat or Evan Cohen.
You read it as like, you know...
Yes, you're right. I was making a joke, but yes, that's how I read it. And again, look, I don't understand what exactly would placate the fan base right now. I would also
Jason, if that statement yesterday, because I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to really hone in on what you're saying.
Yeah,
if that statement you read yesterday, I haven't done a good enough job connecting with you so you can support us.
Yeah, I read it as, we need more of your money or we're going to be bad for a really long time.
No, I'm saying, would you rather have read it as the way I just said it?
Yes.
I am the athletic director. Mm-hmm. I have not done a good enough job of connecting with you, alumni, fan, former player, in order for you to understand the importance of supporting us. This is on me, and I plan to connect with you in a way that I haven't previously to make sure you understand the greatness of this university and this program, and I'm starting immediately. I'm bringing people in. I'm bringing alumni in. I'm bringing fans in. I got a private tour. I'll shout out Ben Brust, who sent my family and I up with a private tour of the Kohl Center with some of the staff from the basketball team. I can't tell you how wonderful they were. And maybe there are a million other people that have done that from a football perspective, but now is the time where you're going to have to go all in with this. Go look at your season ticket, your season ticket holders. How many of them have been to the locker room that Tausch played out of? That they, like, I know that sounds stupid, but that's the kind of... Yeah. Oh, you get what I'm saying. The grassroots stuff to make people feel like they're a part of it needs to happen. If it's not, I don't know that it's not, but if it's not,
yeah. So especially,
Jason,
if you're asking for money,
if you're advising Mac or the UW, you already had your meeting with the State Journal a couple weeks ago. How would you advise Mac to go forward from a messaging standpoint?
So
because the message is going to. The message is going to be, what is it, Rorschach? Is that what the
yes,
where you're
going to
hear and see what you want to
see?
Or some razor?
Yep.
Razor.
How about sitting down with the two of you for an hour? How about sitting down with Alvarez on his show for an hour? How about sitting down with KBN for an hour? I mean, do the rounds. Be out there.
So, guys,
let's be honest. You guys are as safe a landing place as anybody from the university could be a part of it. And when I say safe, I mean questions that need to be asked will be asked, but they will be asked from two people that want to see the best from the school that they graduated from, right? And so I think, like, I mean, I don't know the answer. Has McIntosh ever been on with you guys in studio for an hour?
Not in studio, no.
Has Pickle ever been in studio with you for an hour?
No.
Their studio, the university studio.
Jesse, have either of those two ever been on Barry's show with you and Tarek and Eric?
No.
Okay. Now, I can't assume that Jesse's requested these people. They're A-listers in Madison and in the state of Wisconsin. I can't assume that.
He doesn't book guests.
That's not his deal.
I can guarantee you an invitation has been extended to Chris McIntosh to join us at any time he would like to join us on the Barry Alvarez show.
Right. So literally, him sitting there and this simple question, Chris, what has gone wrong? That's it. We're done. Every answer, every question after that can go based on that. What has gone wrong? Why have things gone wrong? How have they gone wrong? What will go right? How will they go right? Why will they go right? What can we do to help? What do you need to do better? Why should we believe in the program and the athletic department moving forward? These are not difficult questions. The answers are difficult, but the questions are not. And you're saying, what can they do? We need you in more of a human setting. Go on with go drive down to Chicago, knock on Barstool's door, and say, Big Cat, I'm here. Let's go to work. Fly in, knock on our door in New York at ESPN. Let's go. We'll put you on. Let's go.
Don't you think, Evan, that the worst thing, aside from their own issues themselves with their program and the failures and the back-to-back shutouts and everything else, don't you think the worst thing that's happened to Wisconsin football is Indiana football?
No, because I think you're assuming that Wisconsin fans think about other Big Ten schools. I don't necessarily think about it that way. I think when we're good, we do. Because, Jason, Indiana is so far above what we are right now. Like, can we be Iowa first?
Well, what I'm saying is that because I definitely have alumni friends that the first thing out of their mouths is, why is Indiana able to do this and we're not? That is the first thing I hear from them.
This is the thing. I don't believe the hire was wrong. I believe it hasn't worked out yet.
Right, and I'm not saying that if they had hired Kirk Cignetti, whose brother was the Packers quarterbacks coach for a brief period, and I don't know Kurt Cignetti at all. I'm saying they must have gotten it right more than just the coach, right? They're not – Indiana – is Indiana winning purely by the force of nature of Kurt Cignetti's personality?
Well, but I don't, remember, he brought everybody with him from James Madison.
I
so
understand.
We're going to find out after that.
Yeah, I get it. But they're like second in the country, right? They must have
– Right, and Coach Fickell had one of the best teams in America at Cincinnati – Right?
In a previous incarnation of college football, though.
You're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the thing.
Right.
Like, we're not heading right now in the right direction. And it's sad with someone like Jason Wilde, who wants to just not take a stance on things as much as possible, takes the strongest stance of everyone speaking right
harsh
now.
Harsh but fair.
Right. Harsh they got fair. Jason yeah. Wilde to turn on them without ever talking to Jason Wilde. Jason Wilde will turn on you once you say a word to him, then he'll turn on you. But without them saying a word, that's tough.
I'm not sure that if you're speaking true. From experience or what. Look,
not currently, I don't feel that way, but in the past.
Yeah, look, the bottom line, for me anyway, is that I have a much greater level of respect for people that take ownership. I have said this about Jordan Love multiple times. It's Aaron Rodgers week, by the way, in case you haven't heard. Packers playing Aaron Rodgers. No, they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, Matt LaFleur told us. But Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers have been epically great players. Did they take ownership when they made mistakes publicly? That was not one of their strengths. I am a big believer in, hey, we've screwed this up. We need to be better. And the tone of the letter as I read it was, we need more of your money. It did not
yes.
strike
that's the
tone
of too.
This is on us. We have not navigated the waters, the choppy waters of this new era of collegiate athletics the way we needed to. And that's on us. We need your help, but we have a better idea of how to do it now. This is the conversation we've had with Luke Fickell when he's been on the show, with Chris McIntosh when he's been on the show, with Greg Gard when he's been on the show, is that it is hard, and I get it's hard. It's hard for
Nobody
anybody that doesn't have Phil Knight's Nike money like Oregon does, or the SEC schools that are powerhouses that have the money that they have, or Penn State that can afford a $49 million buyout.
Jason. So,
Evan,
let's talk about that for a second. So, I don't remember who told me this, and I apologize for not remembering, but it was one of the smartest things I heard. And it was a hypothetical example, but it also could be used practically. I was talking to someone, and Tausch may know, I don't remember this, and they said to me, if you don't have NIL money or enough for football, do something that no one else will want, so they can't take your players. So what are you talking about? The person said, run the wishbone offense. No one will try to get your guys because no one runs the wishbone. If you're going to say, what do you expect us to do? We need more of your money. Well, there's a reason the movie Moneyball exists. It's finding value where others don't. Like, the Oakland A's have won a lot of games. Tampa Bay Rays have won a lot of games. Doing things differently. So, if Wisconsin, I'm making up numbers, operates on a $1 million budget, but Ohio State and Michigan operate on a $20 million budget, where's your money ball? What are you doing
yeah.
that others don't to make up for the cost? Do something where somebody would say, I don't want those players because they literally can't fit in my system. They haven't done any of that. Tausch.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question? Let's pretend. Yeah. You've done a good job staying out of this, and I think Jason and I deserve a ton of credit for keeping you out of this. So please, a thank you note from you to us afterwards. Also, I would like a dramatic reading of the McIntosh letter by Jesse Nelson in multiple accents at some point. So, like, his Boston accent, the British accent. I like the McIntosh letter. Mark Tauscher, if you were the AD, I don't want to say if you were Chris McIntosh, if you, Mark Tauscher, were the AD, let's say Mac won the lottery and he's like, Tausch, all yours, I'm out of here. I don't need to do this anymore.
All right.
What's your first move? Yeah. What are you doing, Tausch? What's your first move?
I don't know. It would be irresponsible for me to answer that without knowing what's going on behind the scenes. Like, so it would be irresponsible for me to answer that question.
Oh, then you just answered the question. Your first move would be to truly – no, yes, you did. Your answer would be to truly investigate, not that there's something wrong, but to learn what is going on behind the scenes to get us to the place we're at right now. And that's your first move.
There you go.
Inside out. You're looking inside out.
All right, Evco, before you go, we got to get at least your thoughts on this. Who's this game more important to on Sunday? Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, here's the craziest thing. We had a moment this morning on our show where in a break, and I brought it to air, Canty said to Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter, what's up with the Packers? And Graz said, you mean the number one seed in the NFC?
Mm-hmm.
And we all took a step back. We're like, wait, what? What is happening here? How did that happen? So I guess you could make the argument it's more important to the Packers basically just to keep the one seed. Of course, the Rodgers part of it makes a lot of sense. And it is, you know, I think it's both important and interesting. I heard Mike Vrabel say this weekend, going back to Tennessee as a Patriots coach, it's interesting, not important. This is interesting and important, okay? Mm. I don't think that anyone believes the Packers made the wrong move in moving on from Aaron Rodgers. But I think that it's probably more important in terms of the football to the Packers and the personal to Rodgers. of course Rodgers is going to want to make them pay. The reality is, how can they pay when they're the one seed?
Yeah, and it's an out-of-conference game. It's not going to factor into their tiebreaker. Well, I mean, the Packers have a tie, which is weird in and of itself. But it also, it just, it pales in comparison to what occurred in 09. Like, does Rodgers want to beat them? And all? Yes, that all that stuff exists. Is probably not going to be the narrative from him when he does a Zoom call with us later in the week. But you know how he is wired. And you know he would love to play at an extremely high level. And you know who else would love to do that? Jordan Love, who has a great relationship still with Rodgers, which is certainly different than the way things played out during their time together with Favre and Rodgers. But there is the level of animosity and vitriol and all the stuff. Like, Tausch can tell you, the Packers in 2009 were derailed by their obsession with beating Favre. Mike McCarthy has admitted that after that. So that, I don't get that sense that that is the case here. They're like divorced.
This is absurd to say what I'm about to say, and it's Tuesday, but I feel like nobody's talking about it yet. It's going to be a huge deal, but it doesn't, Favre week, not that you're not, I'm saying nationally, Favre week was national and local, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you're 100% right.
Jason, what is your dream scenario for Rodgers Sunday night besides him texting you first before you text him first? Go ahead.
I'm proud to say I'm not the only one who expresses frustration with his communication.
Caleb Presley. Have you seen the Caleb Presley bit this week with Halliburton?
No.
Caleb Presley is hysterical. Content creator, brilliant Sunday conversation. He did a bit, and he was talking at Tyrese Halliburton, and he did something about, like, you know, I reached out to Aaron Rodgers to ask him for advice for you recovering from the Achilles. And Halliburton was like, well, what did he say? He goes, nothing. He never responds to me. And then he went through his text messages and showed how many text messages he sent to Rodgers since he went on with Caleb Presley. And Rodgers has never responded once, but he doesn't stop texting him. He'll send him pictures and all these messages knowing Rodgers will never respond. It's unbelievable.
I got a response after the Thursday night game, and I've not gotten one since. So I'm glad he's doing a Zoom call. We look forward to him talking with us in the Green Bay media. This, to me, is a really interesting story for all the opposite reasons of what we had in 2009. That's why I think it's interesting, is because it's such a different vibe.
That they get along and they can end in a happy way one day, and that he's going to have the jersey retired, the Ring of Honor, whatever it may be, like all Packers Hall of Fame, that mm-hmm. it's actually not debatable as to how he rides off into the sunset.
Yeah, and it does. Look, if he was quarterbacking the Bears, this is an entirely different discussion. The Favre thing when he was in New York was not, like, if they'd have had the Jets on the schedule in 08, yeah, it would have been a story, and yeah, he would have wanted to shove it up Ted's you-know-what, but it just was different because it was the Vikings, and it would be different if it wasn't the Steelers, it was the Bears, but it ain't. It's the Steelers.
And in many ways, playing for the Steelers is an homage to the Packers. Mm-hmm. I'm finishing my career with the team that most resembles where my career was made. And I love that kind of environment, just not the current version of it for him, so much. I tried to find that somewhere else. And that was the closest thing to it.
Evan, this was a great conversation between you and me. And Tausch's contributions about isotoner gloves were outstanding.
Fred McGriff.
Tausch, you did a tremendous job. I mean, I know the content director in Madison, Ashton Rotman, has a great air check for you. There's going to be a lot of feedback. All the great things that Tausch said here. Hello?
There we go.
Mark Tauscher, you alive?
Less is more.
See you, everybody.
Yes, less is more.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike, which you can hear across ESPN Wisconsin every single day. That was fun. Was I uncomfortable at times? Yeah, I was. But we found a way. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
When you tell me I'm a wreck, you say that I'm a mess. How could you expect anything less?
Conversation with Evan Cohen, but I gotta be honest, as much as it was substantive about the Badgers and the football program and Chris McIntosh's letter and everything else, I am 100% in full agreement with Mark Tauscher on the Isotoner gloves. 100% Team Tausch. Again, let me just reiterate a crucial plot point in the American cinematic classic Ace Ventura. He is abducted while he is doing an Isotoner gloves commercial.
Mm-hmm.
That is product placement at the highest level.
Would you now, have ever heard of Isotoner gloves if it wasn't for Dan Marino?
Now, they'd Gatorade, just be one of the many random glove
Nike,
brands.
Yep. You'd hear about it. Isotoner, no. Never. There's nothing else like it ever.
I'm on your team. Now, I would like to point out our big cat, Josh DiMaggio, after we segued into our discussion about Badger athletics, pointed out the George Foreman grill.
Yeah, that's
which
number
probably
one.
Surpasses it because they didn't rename Isotoner's Merinos.
The Merino gloves, yeah, that's the... It's the George Foreman.
They might
Foreman
have used
grill.
Merino wool though. Also, Brett Favre with either his copper fits or what was that nose hair trimmer he allegedly shaved an entire beard with in that one commercial. But I don't think anything beyond the George Foreman grill, that one I think might take the cake. But it
was
a product.
His business.
It was a product business. That was, yes, it has his name on it. Put your name on it. So, anyway. All right, we want to get to Packers here. I know many of you tune into this here program specifically for that. So we will get to that as we roll on here on Wilde and Tausch. I want to remind you, though, that you got to tune in to Behind the Bucks. The Behind the Bucks podcast is on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. And with the Bucks season right about to start, you're going to want to make sure you're caught up on everything Bucks. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, which I got an update yesterday. Spotify has not been overly helpful to our people, but they have been consistently and ardently working on that, but without results to this point.
Go
Behind the
bar.
Bucks, presented by Gallagher. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.